Yhteistyössä Helsinki Biennaali, nykytaidetta Vallisaaressa, Esplanadin puistossa ja HAM Helsingin taidemuseossa.
Sostera Marina, great protector of small amphipods, isopods, gastropod snails, and the greater pipefish, to you we sing.
Heipä hei kuulijat ja oikein hyvää iltapäivää ja tervetuloa taas lähetyksen pariin. Mulla on taas vieraita Helsinki Biennaalista. And this time with me in the studio are two artists from Norway here. Tale Blix Fastwold, hey.
Hey.
And then I have Tanja Torjussen, hey.
Hello.
And hey, welcome to Finland. You just arrived.
Yes, thank you.
So I hope Helsinki is treating you well.
We love Helsinki.
Oh, you love Helsinki?
Yes, we do, actually.
Obviously, you've been here before.
Yes, many times for this project.
Helsinki Biennale 25.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When was the first time that you visited? Your performance will be in Vallisaari, or on Vallisaari. When was the first time that you visited Vallisaari?
That was 1 year ago in
June.
Year
before the...
24.
Yeah.
And what were your sort of... vibrations of Vallisaari? What kind of energy did you get from the island?
Well, it's very interesting with the history there, with that has been military use and all the young boys that have been there with this kind of energy of young young energy that we kind of tapped into.
Yes,
when we were there.
So part of our poem or spell. It's also about this abundance of energy.
Yeah, creative, sexual, blossoming, many types of energies.
The sound clip that we just heard before I introduced you guys was from your performance. It's an integral part of that. Can you tell us a little bit more about the things we will hear?
Well, the sound piece is part of all three of our projects. So it is part of our installation, the HAM Museum, and the installation that is on the pond in Vallisaari. And also then, you know, it is part of the whole project. So it is running also when we do the performance.
Yeah. So our project is called Sostera Marina's Song of Increase. And Sostera Marina is the Latin name of the common eelgrass, the seagrass that lives, among other places, in the Baltic Sea. And this is also our collaborator in this project. We have been collaborating with eelgrass.
So the first time we visited, we actually went to Tvärminne, near Hankö, and we were snorkeling and visiting and seeing this eelgrass there and connecting to that and studying it and finding out more about the history and the biology and, yeah.
Because our project is also co-produced by Jon Nurminen Foundation, which is a foundation that works with restoring eelgrass meadows in the Baltic Sea. So they also put us in contact with the Tvärminne Research Station.
Eelgrass, that's meriajokas in Finnish. And it's very, I think, probably most of you listeners will recognize this grass-like plant, but the name of this plant is probably not so common. But meriajokas is the name, and it has quite important role. And that is also something I didn't know. I just started to sort of investigate the whole thing when I heard that you guys are coming here for the interview. Can you tell us something about the importance of of eelgrass, meriajokas?
Yeah, it is a sort of a nursery, like where small fish and many different other creatures, like small shellfish, and they need that to have as a nursery or a place to hide from the other fish. So it is very, very important for the living creatures there. It is also important to keep the sand, you know, like so it doesn't flow so much back and forth. And yeah, there is many aspects.
Yes, it is really important for the health of the Baltic Sea. And it has been, I mean, eelgrass meadows, they have been declining. So this is why there's a lot of work now restoring the eelgrass.
And also the Baltic Sea has very low salinity, and that means that the seagrass or the eelgrass there, Zostera marina here, is just cloning and cloning and cloning. It is not flowering. And that is what our project is about.
Okay.
So, I mean, eelgrass is a very interesting plant because it's very flexible and fluid. It can clone itself and it can also reproduce sexually. However, in the Baltic Sea now, it's not reproducing sexually. It hasn't been for a very long time. But other places around the world, it is flowering. Mm. And when we were snorkeling, we also saw some flowers, like a few. Yeah. So they're doing research into, like, is the eelgrass flowering? Could it potentially reproduce sexually as well? And this would be good for the eelgrass because then it would have more gene diversity, which is better in case of, for instance, if the waters get warmer, it's more adaptable if it has more genotypes.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
So our project is wanting to inspire eelgrass to blossom and to create a better gene, you know, everything, more variety. So this is what our work is about. We have created these glass sculptures that are on the pond on Malasari that is emulating this really blossoming, amazing flower that is like... That
female and male flowers, or like female and male flowers coming together in an eelgrass orgasm, you could say.
Yeah, you could say that. And also on the pond with the water alive and also with the sun kindling everything.
Because this is also an interesting thing about, well, eelgrass and seagrass, eelgrass sex is not like a personal to men and women situation. It's more of a, you know, full on, well, it's the water and it's the other creatures. Everyone is like participating in this.
And the currents.
Yeah, in this song of increase, we call it.
So, but what we have created is, we hope, an inspiration for them, the eelgrasses, to procreate in a more, different way. So, but also for them to remember and recognize their own mythologies, because it is, you know, there are all these mythologies and goddesses that are needed to be resurrected in this time so that we can create new futures and new utopias and new, you know, different kind of perspectives now.
Yeah.
So that is also what we want to, like, okay, here, maybe you can be inspired by these flowers and increase.
Yes. So we're kind of conjuring the goddess of eelgrass, Zostera Marina, we call her.
Yeah.
So that is also part of our project, to make this, or try to like put that mythology also as part of our history. So people will come and they can also think about that as part of the history of the water gods and goddesses. We can also have Zostera Marina there as one of them. Mm. And this is also about, like, how can we envision different speculative, interesting futures? Not dystopian always, but also more positive futures for the eelgrass and us.
Yes, that is so true. Yes, definitely there needs to be hope in the midst of all
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Can I tell you a story?
Because
yes. When we were
beautiful.
We were rehearsing the performance, the first day we were doing a rehearsal at the Vallisaari in June before the opening, we had installed the sculptures on the little pond, but we were there in our costumes and we were doing some different parts of the performance, and suddenly there was this old couple with a little child, probably their grandchild, and they stopped and they looked at their installation, and then the man came up to us, and at first he said something in Finnish that we did not understand, but then he said in English, "Hope, can I ask you for hope?"
And we were like, of course,
yes,
this is what Sostera Marina is all about. Hope.
Yes, but so that was a good first meeting with the audience.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful story. But Sostera Marina, in I have to explain it in Finnish or like written in Latin. In written, the first letter is Z, so it's even more. It sounds like a goddess. It's already like a name for something. Like non-human entity.
Yes.
And also in the sound piece, we are, talking about all the other known gods and goddesses about the oceanic, like Aphrodite and...
Yeah.
Thalassia. We have a few. Yes.
Yeah.
We have a few that we're mentioning. So we're trying to... create this kind of, all these different goddesses and how they can be, they're in a family, and also Sostera Marina, she belongs there.
And they can all support each other and us and bring hope.
Yeah.
Bring hope, definitely. About the performance that will be on Baltic Sea Day, 28th of August, you had your first performance on the opening day on 8th of June, but the second one will be 28th of August. Now you have mentioned that there will be this soundscape or sound art, a little bit... poems or something like that in the performance, but can you tell us something more about what we will see there in the live performance?
Yes,
it is kind of a ritual where we are we have brought
with us some water from Tvärminde, from the Baltic Sea. We have a long praxis of working with different bodies of water, where we connect different bodies of water. So this we have brought into this performance as well. So we have some water that we collected there, and then we will mix that water with some water from also Vallisaari area.
Yeah, the pond.
But in general, it is a ritual. It has a scenography. So it will also include various other magical acts. I think you will have to come and see it.
We want to reveal
everything.
Don't spoil everything. People have to come and see.
But the sound work, the poem or the spell, that one is possible. You can listen to it when you go to the installation by the pond. It's on all the time during the biennial, and it's also by our installation in the museum. In the museum, we have an aquarium where you can also see seagrass. And we have also glass flowers as part of that installation.
So people, you have chance to see Meri Ajokas live, and now after that you will recognize it when you see that. This is eelgrass, this is Meri Ajokas, and it's important. Don't pick it out from the sea. Hey, you guys, I haven't told the listeners that you also... besides being Taleb Lix Fastfold and Tanja Torjus, and you are also an artist duo named Locus. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the name under you have also worked with this artwork. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of Locus and sort of like what kind of subjects do you have in your work?
Yeah, we met in 2006, and that's a very long time ago.
Almost 20 years.
Yes, almost, we know. So we met, and since then, we have done many different types of projects together. So we have published books and curated and gathered exhibitions many places and traveled many different places. But the later years, we have really been working more and more with collaborating with other entities, such as bees, pollinators, meadows, flowers, and also trees. So we have
rivers, oceans.
It's very much part of our practice now to connect to, for example, if we're working with a tree, we go to that tree and, of course, ask permission to do this and talk to the tree and say, "You are so beautiful. We would like to work with you." Mm. And we always get a yes. So, and then we have also worked on gilding a living tree, like as a performance. And the gilding act is also actually part of this performance, where we use
24 karat gold and we use honey as an adhesive. So it will always go away naturally. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that we work from an eco-feminist perspective in general. So we have also been trying to bring with us other, well, women from the past, artists and writers in lots of our other projects. We have tried to bring forward also that part of history, or her story, or their story.
Not written in the history books.
No.
Yeah.
We want to expand the understanding of history, because this is also how you can see the future in a different way, is what we... So we can say we also work with time.
Yeah, I think this is one very important thing when people talk about things like ecofeminism, that it's not just the way you work now or how you present your works. It's actually very much to do with the knowledge that has been produced earlier and how to see that in a different light, or maybe tell a story that hasn't been told yet but actually like exists and someone hasn't told it yet. So it's sometimes people have like very stereotypical views on feminism or ecofeminism, but I think it's important to sort of shed light on also like the sort of knowledge part of all these isms that are dealing with this like many multi-species way of sort of drawing the new world.
Yeah.
So I think it's a...
And also now we are kind of cross-pollinating in our work. So right now we have, for example, this project called Hilma of Klint's Hive, Hilma's Hive, which is
in
Oslo.
Yeah.
So it is a beehive that lives in an art project that is dedicated to Hilma of Klint. And then we have a rhizoprint that we made with Hilma. And then also we communicate both Hilma of Klint, you know.
Yes.
Yes, your audience know, hopefully. If not, look her up.
Definitely, definitely.
And then also the pollinators' needs and how we can care for them and also connect back to history.
Yeah, but I was thinking also this about how we now have been working with the eelgrass for a year, how much we have also been changed and influenced by that experience and by the eelgrass and by getting to know this new super interesting goddess and also this super interesting creature and learning about how eelgrass lives in the world. That is also changing how we are, which is interesting.
Mm. And our honey that we use in the gilding always is from our own honeybees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
I almost said thank you for coming, but I have one more question because you, Tale, mentioned that you have changed during this process, that you have worked with eelgrass. How have you changed?
I think it is a bit about this different perspective. Like, if you can think from... we have actively tried to think and feel from the eelgrass perspective. this is hard for us humans. But just like first going down there and snorkeling and being in this kind of slow water environment, how that feels in and from within your body. This is something that has been really inspiring and also calming for me, sort of, as a person. So that is also, that's like an emotional and physical change that started with that. Yeah.
And also the aspect of time, because this eelgrass meadow here in the Baltic Sea is about 2,000-3,000 years old, perhaps.
Okay.
It's very old.
Yeah.
So it is, and eelgrass, before it came to the Baltic Sea, it was actually living on land. And then before that, it was in the ocean. So it has traveled for 8 million years or something. It has traveled from living in the ocean, living on land, and then living back into the waters.
Yeah.
So it's like we are tapping into some serious, serious time aspects. And that is also what we really like to do. We really like to tap into the past, but that brings us through this present straight into the future as well, you know? So it's like we're tapping into very big time specters by tapping into this amazing entity that is so old and multifaceted.
Yeah. Mm. And flexible.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so, I don't know, it's like beyond human understanding that how old and how sort of the time frame of, for example, eelgrass, when you're talking about millions of years versus humans, we've been here, I don't know, 100,000 years, I don't know, maybe not even that, I don't know. Mm. So it's like a blink of an eye compared to eelgrass. Hey, Lokus, Tale Blixfastfold and Tanja Torjussen, thank you for being here and sharing something of your process with eelgrass and other beings and entities. And we will see your work in Hom, in Vallisaari, and in Vallisaari, yes.
Yes.
The performance will be also on Vallisaari. So we'll see you there, I have to say. And thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Then change. Waters are clearing. The sun kindle your seedlings. Protected and cherished. Sprouting erective vibrancy. Renewed growth. Seeds, flowers, rhizomes expanding. You emerge in orgasmic energy.
Yhteistyössä Helsinki Biennaali, helsinkibiennaali.fi.